Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to all that are here. As I look out, and there's a lot of people here. So, and then welcome to everybody online. Although we don't see you, we know you're there. Now, when Joe comes up here. Okay, it is right there. Okay, so I don't have any jokes, but hopefully I'm going to bring you some good news. Yeah, that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is, right? It's a proclamation of good news, right? So my title, if you're in the titles, so I misspelled it on my notes, but my title is The Restoration During the Millennium. So these fall holy days are a memorial of events that are going to happen in the future, a memorial in the future. These days are a yearly reminder to us of those events that are going to happen somewhere in the future. So these Feast of Tabernacles, what do they remind us of? They remind us that Christ and the resurrected saints are going to rule the earth for 1,000 years. They remind us that Christ is going to establish his throne in Jerusalem, that Israel will finally become that model nation that God intended them to be. And they remind us that Christ is going to bring restoration to all of creation. In a few days, we're going to be observing the eighth day, and we're going to be reminded that there will be a second resurrection, and salvation is going to be offered to all of mankind. That's the good news. So after Christ defeats the systems and armies of this world, then Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. And we probably discussed this on Day of Atonement. Then those in the first resurrection are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, also known as the millennium. What will Christ and those resurrected saints be doing in the millennium for those 1,000 years? The earth as we know it today is not the same as it was when God created it. And this was mentioned earlier in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. You know, I'll turn there. God said that everything he created was very good. Everything God created was created for one purpose, and that was so that man would be able to inherit eternal life. That was his plan from before he created the foundations of the world. This world is going to be restored back to that environment, the environment that existed at the time of creation. This world is going to be created, restored into a worldwide Garden of Eden. Worldwide Garden of Eden. So you can turn to Romans 8, 19, and we're going to read Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation, your version might say creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the first resurrection. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. From Satan. It's going to be delivered from Satan into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain together until now. The creation is also waiting for the millennium, when it's going to be restored. There are a number of things that are going to be restored during this time of the millennium. I have numbers here, but I don't know if I'm going to follow them. But and there are many, many more. There are too many numbers to go through. So I'm going to go through a few. So number one, man's relationship with God needs to be restored. So when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and they were separated from God. Isaiah 59:2, I'm just going to kind of quote this. So Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Those who have lived through the great tribulation and are alive during the millennium will need to learn. They will need to come to the understanding that there is a God in heaven and that he has a plan. Another thing that's going to be restored is the physical nation of Israel will finally become a nation, a model nation. Jeremiah 33, and we'll read verses 7 through 9. Jeremiah 33, 7 through 9. Verse 7, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at first, just like he intended. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, and it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. God is going to fulfill the promises that he made to Israel in the Old Testament. God is going to do this so that Israel will be the model nation to the rest of the Gentile nations of the world. You know, there may be a billion people who survive the Great Tribulation. We have no idea. You know, right now there's, what, 8 billion people on this planet? So these billions of people are going to need to be taught, and they're going to need to learn how to get along and work with each other. And they also need to learn about our Creator. Let's turn to Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2. And verse 2 through 4. Now we have sung this song, and these scriptures have been read before. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So instead of making implements of war, they're going to be making tools for farming production. They're going to be taught God's way to live. They're not going to learn war anymore. They'll be taught the Ten Commandments, and they will be learning about their Creator and his plan for all of mankind. Number 3, God is going to restore the earth, and it's going to be a worldwide Garden of Eden. Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 2. Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 2. The wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. The creation is going to see this. The desert's going to be fertile. They're going to be farmland. There will be forests and large mature trees. There will be large areas of fertile soil where you'll be able to grow large amounts of produce. And we'll talk about here when I conclude why all this is going to happen. God is going to restore the drinking water. In Revelation 16:3, it talks about during the Great Tribulation, when the second bowl is poured out, everything in the waters will have died. No more fish. There won't be any fish in the waters. There won't be any bacteria. Bacteria is good. Some bacteria. So today, only 3% of the earth's water is fresh water. Only 3% is drinkable. The rest is salt water. You can't drink salt water. This is going to be reversed in the millennium. Most of the water will be restored to be drinkable. Let's read this in Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, verses 8 through 12. Verse 8, then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. Joe talked about this the other day, so I'm going to talk about the physical aspect. Joe is talking about the spiritual aspect. But these waters are going to be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whatsoever, this is an odd word, whithersoever, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. So now the water is going to be replenished with life. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live wherever the river goes. Water is necessary for life. We need water. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even unto En-Gallim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Now, many fish that live in salt water can live in fresh water. But there's going to be exceedingly many fish. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, will not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Salt is a necessity. So it's going to be reversed. Very small portion of salt water, and most of it's going to be fresh water. So number five, if we're keeping track of the numbers, the intent and the nature of animals will be restored. And we've read this scripture, Isaiah 11, verse 6 through 9. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Kind of like my favorite scripture there. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Okay, I did have some jokes, but like my hair. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall be fed, and their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea. There'll be a drastic change in all of the animals. No more will animals be afraid of human beings. They will not be violent towards humans. Again, they will be restored to be like they were in the Garden of Eden. Kind of amazing. What is the purpose for all this restoration? The purpose is to prepare the earth to receive the rest of the dead who are going to be resurrected after the millennium during the great white throne judgment during the second resurrection. It's probably going to take 1,000 years to restore this earth. But there's only one purpose. The second resurrection will be all that have ever lived. We don't know how many people. How many people will this be? So I did some research, and I've come to some estimates of all the people who have ever lived or ever been born. So I find that somewhere between 50 to 100 billion people have been born. 50 to 100 billion people. So if 100 billion people were to be resurrected today, this earth would not be able to accommodate their needs. When these billions of people are resurrected, they're going to need housing. They're going to need all that lumber from those trees. They're going to need building materials. They're going to need food. And they're not going to need it next year. They're going to need it within hours of their resurrection. They're going to need drinking water. Right now, there's only 3% of the water is drinkable. What are they going to drink? 100 billion people. And that's if maybe Christ returned today, you know. They're going to need transportation. They're going to need clothing. They're going to need schools. They're going to need educational systems where they learn the ways of the Lord. They're going to need a government system. All of this will need to be established and in place at the time of the second resurrection. And again, that's probably going to take 1,000 years to get there. Those resurrected, all that have ever lived, these billions of people resurrected during the last great day, during the second resurrection, they're going to remember how the earth was because Satan was in charge. So they're going to, but now Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the world will have been restored back to the world, to a worldwide Garden of Eden. They're not going to be resurrected to this current world. Now they're going to have the opportunity to experience physical creation in a manner which God originally intended it, and in an environment where they will have a chance to develop a healthy, living relationship with the Father and with Christ. That's the good news.